I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Welcome to the All Dick is Trash podcast. I'm your host, Millie Tamaris, aka Millie T, aka Wactose Intolerant, formerly known as Swaggetti and Meatballs. I'm here in the studio, in the cut, with producer extraordinaire, my right-hand woman. Everyone give it up for Candy Haro.
Candy Joy Haro Pocasang Reynoso Flores.
Cool. That was all of her Salvadorian names that I rudely interrupted. I rudely interrupted with the Dominican way, the Caribbean way of saying hello, which is a foghorn. All right. So we got this podcast. We're at the All Dick is Trash podcast.
Mm-hmm. Who do we have today?
Today we got Fumi Abe. And let me tell you something about Fumi. Fumi Abe, he's the host of Asian Not Asian podcast, an amazing podcast that I think everyone should check out. But you know what this motherfucker did to me, which is why I booked his ass. I did his podcast. I was super hyped to do it. Then in the last 5 minutes of an hour long podcast, he fucking tells me that we matched on Tinder in 2013 and that he ghosted me. And then he just ended the podcast right there, and I had no retort. Well, bitch, we're in Millie's house now, and I got this interview is great, and he's our first straight male guest.
Mm-hmm. And brought a lot of straight boy energy.
Mm-hmm. And I just let you know, I'm going to let the audience know right now that we edited out everything that made him sound like a good person. So if you're waiting to hear some straight man redemption,
this is not it.
You will not find it.
He didn't know fuckboys was a bad thing until today.
He didn't know. He is very clueless. And the police have been called multiple times in this episode. But enjoy the interview. Before we get to the interview, I got to do my trash chick anthology. This week, we'll talk about Watson. Now, Watson was a guy I met on Tinder in about like 2014. And he was very hot. Very tall Asian guy. Very sexy. Huge fuckboy. Huge trash. We met up. I remember on our first date, we met up and we went to a comedy show. And I think he thought like I was a random hookup. Like I was just going to be, because people go on Tinder for different things. Mm-hmm. But you have to communicate those things. Like, I hate when people are like, oh, I can't believe you're trying to find love on a dating app. And it's like,
honestly, well, you're the first person I know who like wanted a date and not just like get their dick wet on Tinder.
But I feel like a lot of people do that, though. Like a lot of people meet guys on Tinder, then go on dates with them. Like, and I don't think those are mutually exclusive. It's not like I don't want to get my dick wet, but I'm not going to. But, you know, and I know people use the apps for different things.
Fair.
Some people are like, oh, come over to my house and suck my dick and then leave
and pee on me
and pee, yeah, whatever. And then some people are like, you know, hey, like I want to like hang out and like let's grab a drink and let's go from there, you know, and see if we vibe, which is kind of my thing. And to me, like what I'm finding out is like those, I don't think those things are mutually exclusive, you know. I don't think like having sex with someone and wanting to get to know them is like, it's either or, but you know, maybe gross. I'm just a fucking idiot. But anyway, we go on this date and it was fun. It was great. And then we're going on our second date. And like at this point, I'm like, oh, I already know the game. I know how it works out. These guys will tell you like push the date back a lot, which now I'm like, I don't know if I would. So we were supposed to meet at like 7:00. Then we were supposed to meet at 8:00. Then 8:30 turned into 9:00. And 9:00. And I'm like, 9:00 is basically 10:00. It's a weeknight. I already know how this goes. You're hanging out with them for an hour and then you want to. And like, I'm really not trying to have sex with guys like before the third date. You know, that was like my little stupid rule. And then when he was kept moving the date back, I'm like, hey, so like, I have to meet early because like, I already know what's going to happen, if you know what I mean? And I'm not really trying to do that. And my dude, fucking, I got ready and everything. And he set me up, like didn't text to be canceled, nothing. Like he just like didn't show. And that like fucking broke me. Then like 9 months later, I'm at Union Pool, which is the number one place you go if you want to fuck trash.
STD Central.
Union fucking pool. Not to be confused with Union Hall, which is the number one place for comedy. But Union Pool.
Yeah.
And he's there. I see him. He looks great. He's fucking hot. And he's like, hey, how are you? Oh my God. And I'm like, hey. And he's like, why did you never text me back?
Ugh.
And then I was like, no, bitch, you're the one who stood me up. Like, don't fucking do this. Don't gaslight me. And then he's like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, Watson, what was the last thing you texted me? And he was like, hey. And I'm like, fuck you, man. And then he was like, well, and then he gets really close to me and he was like, my dick is so hard right now. Like literally at gross. The bar. And I was like, ugh. I was like, I fucking hate you, but also you are so hot. You are hands down the hottest guy I dated this year. So I was like conflicted.
That, I mean, it's super controversial, but it's less creepy when they're fine as fuck.
Yeah, yeah, I know. The
dicks get less creepy when they're pushed up on you.
Yes, you cannot, like, the patriarchy hates to see it. But yeah. Because they feel like they're entitled. They're like, well, if you're like catcalling if the guy's hot. And it's like,
no, that's gross. But
no, but also like, so, so what? And but you know what? 9 times out of 10, they're not hot. So stop doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get away with it. He was hot. So then he was like, oh, like, so we were talking and stuff and we were like, whatever. And we're flirting. And then he just straight up walked away from me in the club, like walked away from me in Union Hall, like didn't even say bye, didn't even say anything. And I was like, and my friends were like, what the fuck? What the fuck is his problem? And then I was like, yeah, whatever. Like, kind of play it cool. Like, cool girl. I don't care. I don't care if he walks away with it. Even though it was super hurtful. So my friend found him in the club, walked up to him. This girl I knew walks up to him, smacks him right in the fucking face. She's like, hey, smacks him in the face. Don't do that. And like in front of everyone, I was like, oh my fucking God. Damn it, man. Lost my cool. And then later I was trying to like talk to another guy and he had like a short sleeve shirt and I put like my shirt in his, my drink in his pocket. And I slipped out of my straw, like in a flirty way. And then later Watson comes and he's like, that was my friend. Like I caught you trying to flirt with my friend. You're trash. And I'm like, no, bitch, you're trash.
Can we get another slap?
Yeah. No, and then Ariel did slap him again.
Really? She slapped him twice?
And he's like, if you do it again, I'm going to hit you back. And I was like, you gotta slap slapping people in the face. And you know who went home with someone? She did. she ended up getting having sex that night. Anyway, so we got this great episode. Next up, we have our Trash Dick Confessions.
All right. So Trash Dick Confessions that aren't me. These get submitted by my random friends who get texts 3 hours before the show. I know you had trash dick. Tell me.
And your mom's like, please, Candy.
Me cannot.
I just want to say hi. I'm praying for you. Your niece is like, oh,
Jesus. God, my name is so easy to Google. Don't spell it right.
I think anyone can guess that spelling.
All right. So my friend texted me. I dated a guy for 2 years. We shared a computer during this time. He then broke up with me via text with no explanation. Soon after the breakup, I was buying something on Amazon, noticed it was logged into his account, and started snooping. I found his extensive research over a month into blow-up dolls, blow-up sex dolls, talking dolls. Maybe he found my replacement? Damn.
That's crazy. But you know what? Not trash.
He did break up with her.
He broke up with her. And you know what?
He bought them after.
And you know what? I don't know how I would feel if a guy I was dating had toys. But conceptually, I don't think it's wrong for guys to have toys. You know what? If you're going to go and you're going to go on Tinder and you're going to DM a girl, be like, come over and suck my dick, you might as well just get a blow up doll.
That makes so much more sense. Like, honestly.
If you're going to treat women like they're just holes, just buy something.
Buy a hole.
And put your dick in it.
Fleshlight.
A fleshlight something. You know what? Mm-hmm. Not trash.
Fair.
It's a first.
That one's good. That's a little partial.
Which is great because you know what? I want you to know that I don't think all straight men are trash. Just a lot of them, especially Fumi, who's our guest for today. And that's it. That's our confession, right?
That's it.
And that's it.
I'm going to end it like
that's
that.
Perfect. Yes. That's perfect. Thank you so much. Let's get to our interview. I'm here in studio with none other than Masafumi Abe, hey. A.K.A. Fumi Abe, A.K.A. the biggest fuck boy in all of Japan.
No,
there's worse. Fumi.
Yes.
You're a host of Asian Not Asian podcast.
That's true.
You have a monthly show at the Canal Street Market called Hack City.
I feel like I'm being interrogated.
You're a contributor on Wait, Don't Tell Me. And you regularly appear on BuzzFeed's Did You See This? Which someone in this room also does those two things, but she's not going to go there.
It's you.
Oh, it's you. Actually, I'm a writer in residence at Wait, Don't Tell Me. So,
wow.
You describe yourself as an Asian bro trying to be woke.
Who told you that?
You grew up in Columbus, Ohio, and you moved to New York for NYU.
Yeah.
You play the trumpet and the guitar?
What the hell?
And
this is not a podcast anymore.
And you ghosted me on Tinder.
I did.
You did. So.
But you didn't even know about it.
I didn't even know. I'm sorry.
Why don't you give the listeners a little background?
Okay, so I did your podcast last week.
Yeah.
And we literally recorded for over an hour. Mm-hmm. And on the last 5 minutes, mm-hmm. you sprung that. You confessed that you had ghosted me in 2013.
In 2013, yeah.
And that you had met me. The crazy thing is not that you ghosted me. I mean, to me, so.
I don't even think I understand what the word ghosting
is. Yeah.
We never met in person.
I know. Like, so it was like, to me, I wouldn't. But like. To me, that's not like the weird or like whatever, because ghosting to me, it's like, yeah, that is kind of lame, like talking to someone a lot and then like completely cutting off
on
the apps and then completely cutting off contact. But I feel like ghosting is wrong if you've had sex with someone.
Oh, like, yeah.
So
we were not close to that at all.
Yeah, no. We weren't. but to me, the weird part about that story was that. You kept that for 6 years.
I kept it.
And we met in 2015 again. And you said you recognized me and I didn't.
Yeah.
And then we've met a lot and you never brought that since then and you never brought that up.
Well, it's a weird thing to bring up.
No, it's weird to bring it up on a podcast. So I was like, I'm going to get this.
We were doing
I'm gonna get this bitch. I'm gonna get him on my show, and I'm gonna revenge you for an hour, bitch. Let's unpack this shit. Well, why do you feel? No, I'm kidding.
I brought it up because we were doing a segment about ghosting, and I was like, oh, this.
We didn't even talk about ghosting, though. You told me that you ghosted, yeah. And then you fucking ended the episode.
We ran out of time.
Yeah.
You know, that's just the way it goes.
Yeah, but you know, but back to the thing, the actual thing of like talking to someone a lot and then not meeting up with them. I just feel like that happened. You know, you got to kind of charge that to the game. Like, that just happens where, you know, you're talking a lot and then, you know, but to me, it's really fucked up if you like, there's a certain level of like intimacy or something that you reach with somebody. It's like really mean to do that, to like just cut them off and not like at least tell them that you're not interested anymore.
Right.
And usually that's like the way that I measure it is by like if I've had sex with that person, but it doesn't always have to be because there are people, you know, but,
I feel that.
Yeah. So yeah, I feel like, cause then I've ghosted like a lot of people too. So.
Well, cause that's like that's just like texting, you know, that happens with your friends, right?
Yeah.
You're like, hey, what are you doing tonight? Nothing. Like you just get no responses. You know what I mean? That kind of behavior is just like what's normal today when you're texting or DMing somebody, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's considered ghosting, but I remember like, yeah, you shared a lot about yourself in the exchange that we had.
Ooh.
Wow.
Like, we were trying to hit that Asian angle. You're like, oh, I work for a Japanese company.
Yeah, you know what? Guess you what? Like that? Didn't work. It didn't work. It did not work. But you know what? Years later, they always come back. So. No, for real.
What if I started comedy just so I can meet you again?
That would be, you really did not have to do that at all. I will say real quick, I did get a fuckboy Merry Christmas text from someone I dated 4 years ago.
Now, what is a fuckboy Merry Christmas text?
It's a Christmas, like, so they made a meme about it on Twitter with Future texting, and it's like,
oh, because he got in trouble for DMing somebody, right?
No, he's just Future's like
just a fuckboy,
the super same fuckboy.
Oh, is he?
Yes, like peak fuckboy.
I thought he was married.
No,
He has nine baby mamas.
He has nine baby. No, that's Ciara's his ex. So this is why he's peak fuckboy. Because he has nine baby mamas. He was with Ciara. He cheated on her a whole bunch. She broke up with him. Has their baby. Started dating Russell Wilson, and Russell Wilson's like great man, like obsessed with her, this and that, and Future would start like getting like really salty about it and like, oh, like that guy sucks, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean?
I
don't know, when you had your chance, you like were being a bitch, and now she's happy with someone else, and he's always like threatening to beat his ass and all this shit.
Okay.
And the Future Hive harasses Russell Wilson and all that stuff, so that's why he's peak fuckboy. But there's a meme of him, and he always like, but he did like mad songs about how he'll always choose Lean over his anybody. Like, he'll choose Lean over anyone he dates.
I didn't know that fuckboy had like I'm not really in the dating scene, but I always thought like fuckboy was like a fun thing, like, oh, he's just like a little flirty guy. I didn't realize that fuckboy, like the way you just described it, sounds like a terrorist.
Yeah, like emotional terrorist. Yeah,
that's bad.
So I feel like fuckboy could be something like, it can be like playful, like, oh, you're a little fuckboy or this and that. Like, I've definitely, you know, it can be, but like for the most part, it does have like a negative connotation. Mm.
Like, there's like Future fuckboy levels, and like a dude in joggers with like socks and sandals outside his mama's house fuckboy, you know? Yeah. Like, there's like a spectrum. Yeah. Like, it doesn't have to be one or the other.
Yeah. It is a spectrum. Right. Like, everyone, I feel like, and it's like similar to all dick, like pivoting to all dick is trash. Mm-hmm. Everyone got a little bit of fuckboy in them.
Even my sweetest, treatest best friend.
Michelle.
I know, I got excited. I was like, oh, you said best.
I'm sorry. Kenny, you know, we don't even have to go there because we know you're a fuckboy. You're just dormant. Okay. You're dormant right now because you're in a relationship. She's a dormant fuckboy, but she does have the potential. Even my best friend, like, again, freckly sweet Asian girl, She's done some fuckboy shit.
That'd be like a funny anime.
Yeah. Oh my god.
You're the chosen fuckboy.
No, because we're talking.
It's within you.
It is. Everyone. I mean, just to get Buddhist, everyone has the potential for Buddhahood inside of
them.
That's true. But they just have to unlock it.
You have to drink enough tequila to get there.
Oh my listen, because she was talking to me, she's like, "Oh, I really want to date this guy," and I'm like, "You have to break up with the one that you're dating now." She's like, "Oh," and I'm like, "Michelle," you know. So, yes, but yeah, we all got a little bit of fuckboy in us, and there's moments that we're all not, you know. But at the end of the day, I think all dick is trash. So that goes to my first question.
Sure.
Fumi,
bring it.
And if you want me to talk about what that means to me, but do you think all dick is trash?
Can you just define that for me once again?
Yes.
You emailed me about this podcast. You're like, "Hey, just so you know, we're going to be talking about, just bring some stories about, you said like bring trash dick stories or something like that." And I was like, "Is this like a new slang?" Like, I didn't know what,
yeah,
what I asked you. But then I realized I had CC'd your producers and I was like, "This is probably the most embarrassing thing I've done." No, wait. Hi, what is,
yeah,
the,
they were like,
"Can
you take him off the roster, yeah, please?"
Well, I thought first you meant like, "Oh, does that mean like your like dick game is bad?" Is that what you meant?
You know, it's all encompassing. Okay. So it's like, because usually if a guy's dick game is good, they're a terrible person. But like, it's just that, you know, for me, and I, you know, I came up with this philosophy, you know. I came up with this philosophy.
You're gonna put yourself up there with like Plato
and yes, like Pythagoras. Oh, bitch, I'm beyond Plato. And anyone who knows,
she has better merch.
Yes, I do have better merch than Plato. God. Plato does not have the memes, baby. Aristotle don't got this meme game. No, but I. Well, the thing is, right, that like in dating and in stuff, there. You know, women and women, people who date, you know, people who date men, I'll say that, be more encompassing, have been socialized that if somebody treats you bad or ghosts you or something, it's kind of your fault.
Oh, it's
like, good. And you internalize the other people's behavior. But if you know base level that all dick is trash, you know what I mean?
Ooh, then it's like a source of confidence.
Yeah, it's a source of like, yo, all dick is trash.
You.
Or it's just like, it's not you. And it's not to take away responsibility because there's always, you know, like to be nuanced about it. Every, you know, there's always whatever. But at the same time, it's like society does not hold like men accountable or, and men are not socialized in a way, in the same way women are. Like, you know, I got very deep and then we're going to come back. But I was like, you know, if a woman gets raped or assaulted, it's like, what did you wear? Like, we're always taught that, like, everything you do, everything you wear, how you react, there's always going to have consequences, you know? And I feel like men are not socialized in that same way. So they act a little bit more emotionally reckless.
Mm.
And, you know, the mantra, all dick is trash, is just a reminder that, yeah, it's like, you know, the same way I like to compare it to when Black people talk about cops, right? Like, you know, of course, not every single cop is a bad person, but we're talking about
the structure
of cops,
right?
You know,
so all dick is trash is a jab at the structure.
Yeah, the patriarchy. Yeah.
I like that. I love that.
Oh, thank you.
That's great.
Yeah. So do you agree? What do you feel as a straight man? How do you feel about it?
Well, here's the thing. I am a straight man, but that shit gets complicated sometimes, especially with like
your sexuality.
Okay, here's my initial reaction to that. I think this is related, but I hope it makes sense. But like, you know, especially now with people talking about like toxic masculinity and stuff like that, holding men accountable. Yes, I agree with all of that, and it's very true. But I'm an Asian dude, and so it's like all my life I've been told that I'm not a man or I'm not a man enough. And then all of a sudden,
In America,
right? So obviously, like Japan, where I'm from, there's a terrible like sexist thing happening.
They all men there. Yeah, let me tell you something.
I mean, it's wild, and it's not. And I'm not talking sexism. Like, go to the kitchen. I'm talking like in the office. Like, you can't get promoted.
I know.
You know, they call you like, you know, something Chan, right?
Yeah. Can I tell you a story after you finish?
Yeah. So, but you know, I'm Asian American, so it's like I'm here, and at least here, you know, you're kind of told that you're not like a man and all this stuff, and you're like, okay, if that's the way you feel, then I guess those are the rules I got to play with. And then all of a sudden, 2019 comes around, and then I get people pointing at me and they're like, yeah, you're the problem. Like, you're a man. Then it's like, you just said I wasn't a man. So it's like, I get it, but I feel like it's more nuanced than that. You know what I mean? It's not black and white, and people don't get that. And so, like, yes, I'm not saying, like, well, what about me? It's not really about that, but it's just like, it's a little more complicated, that, at least for me.
Yeah, and I mean, that's why I love podcasts, because there's a space to talk about
that. Yeah, but it's like, even in off, if you want to talk about, like, you know, industries and how they're, like, male-dominated, right? Even in the workforce, I've never had an Asian boss before. You know what I'm saying? So it's like,
that is
so how
not
can you say to me,
reality at all. I'll tell
right?
you
oh, but you
quick.
Worked for a Japanese company. So again, that's separate. And you didn't work for a Japanese-American company. You worked for a Japanese
What is a Japanese-American company?
I guess a company run by, like, a Daniel Saito or whatever, to someone from California, fifth generation in, right? You're working for companies that, like, I don't know, what, like Mitsui Bank or whatever the fuck, right?
Mitsui, Toyota, yeah.
Right, those are like Japanese
one
companies.
One time, I went to my first time I went to the Tokyo head office
of
one of my companies, and it was fucking crazy, because there's like 500 people, right? Of 500 people, like, for me, I was not entry level, like, I wasn't an assistant or secretary.
Yeah.
I was like mid-level, I was like assistant manager of sales and marketing.
Yeah.
But
assistant to the
okay, bitch. that's not what the card said. So, you know, like a marketing, like a mid-level marketing job.
Sure.
So, on my position, women were only like 3 out of like an office of 500.
Yeah.
So all the other women in the office were like secretaries, assistants, even though they've been working there 10, 15 years.
Right.
They all the secretaries, assistants, they all have to wear uniforms.
Yeah.
Like stewardesses in the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, that shit was crazy to me, because so basically all the women are wearing uniforms, and the men, even though they kind of have a dress code, it's a little bit more loose.
Yeah.
So I went to my boss and I was like, Shimizu-san, that was not his name. But why are the women all wearing uniforms and the men aren't? And he's like, well, they get to wear whatever they want on their commute.
That was his response.
Yeah.
That is fucking wild.
I was like, oh hell no.
It's wild over there.
It's
man.
Wild.
It's wild.
But yeah, I totally see that. It's just like, women for so long have been told, you know, that like vaginas are nasty and all this stuff. And now there's all, you know, like now we have like the pussy hats and like the vagina imagery that just recently came out. And then all these people are like, that's transphobic. Like, that is like, you know, not all women have vaginas. And like, you know, you are the problem. Like, this is like feminism.
Is that really a thing?
Yes.
Do people have a problem with the pussy hats?
Yeah, a lot of people have a problem with the pussy hats.
Simply highlight.
That's exactly what I said. Like people are like, you're reducing women to pussies,
and
you're producing this movement.
That's the same thing.
For me to even say all dick is trash, which is like a radical thing. Like, I'm already getting like some pushback on, well, you know, some women have dicks and stuff like that, and like, you know, it's complicated, because it's like, I don't want to take away, and that is a part of the narrative, but then it's also like, there's also this structure and like, what does dick represent and all this stuff?
what does dick represent?
Dick, and we said earlier, it's like the system and the patriarchy and and I hate to say, we can't say patriarchy is trash, because that doesn't look good on a shirt. But
yeah.
But yeah, like it is complicated and tough.
Yeah, but I guess from like a holistic standpoint, for sure, I think dating and also in like the workforce, I think men, straight dudes have kind of made it like, it's almost like we've normalized bad behavior, right?
Yes.
And then
and I
was thinking about this for like, this is such a dumb thing.
Everything
you guys
said
are so woke.
Dumb.
Yeah, you guys are, you've known this for like 7 years or whatever, but like, you know, like I remember like negging, you know, like I used to do that when I was like younger, because like in anime,
you still do
shit,
that now, but whatever.
Yeah, but like in anime, you know, you think about like anime and shit, like I watch a ton of anime, they do weird ass shit in there. There's like crazy grandpas like stealing panties and stuff. Like, being perverted is funny.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, they also draw like Japanese people with the biggest eyes in the fucking world. So,
oh yeah.
Like,
well, that's,
let's not go there.
The whole like the anime thing is actually they started breaking it because they like Disney. So it's based off of
American.
Sure,
anyway, sure.
That's
sure.
The whole big eye thing. But right,
yeah, no, so, the stealing panties. Yeah, that's
right. So like, being pervy is funny, even in like Naruto, which is like a fairly recent anime.
Yeah.
You know, there's the pervy stage, right? So it's like, it's interesting to like have to go back and be like, oh, that's not funny anymore. Like, being a pervert is not funny.
Yeah,
you know?
It's not funny.
And it's weird, because like, that's just what I was taught as when I was younger, right? Mm-hmm. So like kind of unlearning that, I think, is like very important.
Yeah, and like that you don't have to accept like negging and stuff like when some, you know, yeah, it's like it's shifted and changed. And I feel like, and this is something I talked a few episodes ago with Alex Peter or better. It's like, so, you know, I what I would like to say is men have been socialized to that their behavior is like very to be like emotionally reckless. And then like to recoup that, they've also been told like it's important to be nice, mm-hmm, and not kind. And I feel like those are different things.
Oh, okay.
So like they want to be a nice guy. Like a nice guy, right, will tell you, hey, I'm not really looking for anything serious, but continue to push those boundaries of what a serious relationship looks like. Mm. And then when you ask him about it, it's like, but a kind person, right, would be like, hey, like, I'm not looking for anything serious. It seems like you are. Let's just end this now. You know what I mean?
Oh.
But then yes, the guy's like, I didn't do anything wrong. I'm a nice guy, you know? And that's, I feel like a lot of people are interested, you know, I want to say just men.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it's this whole thing about being this nice guy, yeah, quote unquote, and not being a kind person.
Yeah. I think learning is really important. Like growing is important. And, yeah, I will say, like, if you know, when you're young, you may not know what the difference is between a nice, yeah, guy and a kind guy. Or like you may not realize what I'm doing or how I'm texting women or whatever is like hurting them or whatever.
Yeah.
Right? So like you need to be kind of called out. Not called out like in the Twitter cancel way, but just like, hey, just so you know, like that was not cool, you know? And I think I've been fortunate enough to like have those women in my life
who, yeah,
like, who have like kind of called me out on my bullshit. Yeah. And then that made me feel really bad. And
yeah,
I just think it takes a few people for most guys. Some guys are evil as shit, but like for most guys, for the average guy, you just need a couple women when you're like a little younger in your early 20s to be like, hey, you can't do that anymore, you're like a man, you know what I'm saying?
So yeah,
it's like, and maybe the communication's not happening for some people where they just keep acting like that, you
know? And I guess to counter that, right, it's kind of like, well, isn't that unfair to women that we have to teach men? Why do I have to teach a grown-ass man that, you know, texting or behaving this way is bad? Like, no one, that's again the difference in how we're socialized, because as women, we're like, oh, friend zoning a guy is bad. And like, literally, you know, it's so fucked up, because at one point, if we like friend zone or lead a guy on, it's like terrible. At another point, if a guy wants to talk to us and we reject him, like, women have died, like, up, like, this year, like multiple, you know, guys will get salty and just kill you, like straight up, like at Jouvert, yeah. You know, this guy was trying to dance with this girl and she was like, no, and he shot her and
over
killed her.
A fucking dance.
Yeah, but like, Jesus, that's like a reality. And like school shootings, like a lot of them are just guys who get curbed by the girl. They go into the classroom, shoot the girl, and, you know, and like that shit has happened. You know what I mean? So yeah, it's like, so we're taught like that, and then later, so we've survived all of that.
Yeah.
And the, you know, so I'm like,
well, I mean, I can only speak for my personal life, but like, I meant that both ways. Like, I will also
call a girl out
if there's like some ghosting happening, or it's like, I would just be like, hey, like, I'm too old for this. Like, do you like me or do you not? Or
yeah,
like, why did you fucking match me if you didn't want to talk to me? Right.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Just, I think in general, it's not a gender thing. It's just like a communication thing. If you, and it's not just dating, it's also like in the workplace too.
Yeah.
Like if you're unhappy, mm-hmm, you should at least voice it. Nothing may happen, but it's step one is to be like, hey, I'm hurt.
Yeah.
Right? Just to say it out loud. So I think it's a lot of communication thing, but you know, it's just weird, 'cause like the technology is supposed to make us communicate better, but I feel like we've gotten, as a society, we've gotten worse at it, you know?
Yeah. All right.
That's kind of where I'm at.
Okay.
Yeah. That's my safe answer.
So, do you want to talk a little bit about like where you're at right now? I think we talked about it a lot on your podcast, like in terms of your relationship.
Yeah, sure. So I've been with my girlfriend for about 6 years. I knew her in college. But we started dating when I was like 24, and she was really like the first girlfriend that I've ever had. And I just never thought it would last this long, but it did. And now it's solid. But we just had a couple bumps in the road in 2019. And then I think it just got to a point where it's like, you know, look, like, we think this could last a long time. And clearly, you know, you have she's not, I don't really call her my girlfriend. She's more of like my partner. Mm. And it really, I really do mean that as in like, we're trying to like build something together. You mm-hmm. know, we got each other's backs. We support each other's careers. So it's much more than like, this is my girlfriend I bring to the cocktail party or whatever. Yeah. You know, it's like, we're way beyond that. But I think the one thing that's been on my mind, at least, I don't know if it's not so much for her, but is that, you know, it's like, I didn't really, this is such a stupid thing to say, but like, I didn't really get confident until like my late 20s, mm. you know, and like I really didn't date that much, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think there's just that part of my brain that's always like, oh, this is amazing, but it's like I wish I had more like experience or data points, not even necessarily to evaluate what I currently have, mm-hmm. just to like, also as a comedian, like, you should live through stuff, you know what I mean? It's like, mm-hmm. and I have a hard time, like, there's so many dating podcasts out there, mm-hmm. and they're all so popular, mm-hmm. but it's like, I listen to it and I don't always know what the fuck they're talking about because mm-hmm. I didn't like really do it, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I, you know, we kind of talking about that, and now we're like kind of experimenting with open relationships mm-hmm. a little bit, but it's not like, you know, I think a lot of open relationships go awry because people try to use open as an excuse to find a new girlfriend or a new boyfriend. Mm-hmm. But they don't want to be alone, so it's like a backup plan, mm-hmm. which is like the dumbest way to approach open. I also don't think you can really do, this is just my personal opinion, but I feel like you can't really do open unless your primary partner is somebody you trust a lot. And mm-hmm. that's either by you guys are dating for a long time, or like this person just has been in your life for a very, very long time. Either maybe it was just a friendship for first or whatever, but mm-hmm. it's hard to just kind of, you know, like, I know some people who are like on the dating apps right now saying, I'm only looking for open relationships. But now I'm thinking, like, how can you, maybe it's possible, but for me, it's like, that's kind of hard to establish as the first step, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, I just met you. I don't even know if I like you, but yeah. can we be open? Like,
yeah.
you know? But anyways, we're, like, trying it. And to be honest, like, just having that conversation with my girl was, like, very eye-opening. Mm-hmm. And in a weird way, like, that was good enough, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we haven't really done that much since that conversation, like, outside our relationship. But it's just nice to have that option, or just mm-hmm. like, it, you know, she's not my property, and I don't, you know what I mean? And if a guy is hitting on her or whatever, if I'm flirting with a girl, now I can kind of do it without being like, am I emotionally cheating on her? Because it's not even like that, you know what I mean? Yeah, so that's kind of where I'm at. And you know, business is open, but nobody's in.
Do not cut this, Candy, please cut this. I know you did not just do that to try to get, you know what, I can't
hell
even
yeah.
say, I can't even hell say yeah. anything because I
share that baby.
No.
Guy energy.
I cannot
We're
even
back.
Say anything.
Last straight guy
did,
on the podcast.
I did do that on his podcast. I was like, look, submissions are open, Doug.
You thought I was some PC, nice
no,
guy,
you
kind
no
guy,
one
straight guy.
That. No
you
one
wrong.
Thought that.
I'm
no
a piece
one.
Of shit. All dick is trash. What's good?
No one thought that at all.
I actually work for All Dick.
You work for the Big Dick.
The big dick
Corporation.
Yeah, the big dick corporation.
Big dick industry. Yeah. That's so funny. So yeah, like, so I mean, you really like broke it down.
I can't pull back. I'm just.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Everyone's such a nice moment.
Yeah, you really did. I was like,
open.
You know what?
Because I was like, oh, so secure.
You know, I've been on the other side again. Like, and I feel like we have very opposite dating situations. So I could not wrap my head around, like, I'm like, you know how hard it is to find one person like who consistently doesn't suck, and then to find that person and then to try to like keep fucking other people. But you just broke it down in a way that, like, yeah, because it's hard, you know, again, it's like hard for me to see because literally everyone I date is a huge piece of shit.
This is the thing that I feel like most single
Candy's
people.
Candy's like, yeah.
Dude, this is the thing single people don't understand. Like, how long was your most, like, how long was your longest relationship?
Not long, like probably like 3 months.
Okay, next. See, and I'm not even an expert, but I'm telling you, like, my partner and I, like, we didn't even like each other that much in the beginning, which sucked. And then we learned how to be better. Like, we kept calling each other out, and then we became better people, and we became better partners. And that's, feel like I hear that from so many of my single friends. They're like, oh, like, I like 80% of him, but 20% of him sucks. And it's like, but that's just people, that's just human.
Yeah, but...
and like, that's what a relationship is. It's a lot of work, and it's very ugly, and it sucks, but mm-hmm. the result can be something really amazing.
Like,
you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, yo, I'm like Super Saiyan 4 right now, you know what I'm saying? It's like, I can do whatever I want now because I have the power. But in the beginning, you know, like, It's just people don't want to put in the work. That's what I'm trying to say. And you know, I have a hard time kind of like empathizing.
Well, it's hard.
You're not gonna put in the work.
It's hard to know. It's really hard to navigate. When is it worth it to put in the work? Because you don't. Because my thing is, of course, relationships are work, and of course, like no one's gonna be perfect, but I have to sit and think like, would this guy put in the work for me? Is this someone, am I going to put in all this work and is he going to be like there? You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's like, or it's for
but
me.
But like,
too.
I think like that, this is going to sound so ridiculous, but he may feel like I'm not going to be there for Millie for the first year. And then maybe something changes after a year where you're like, oh fuck, like Millie's really got my back. Or I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like you, people can change.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
What happened to me.
But like, you know, it's just like, don't you want to be with someone who's excited to be, or for me, right? It's like, I guess it is just opposite perspectives. Cause it's like, I don't know. I see so many relationships that like kind of not disintegrate, but like, you know, isn't when you start out, isn't it supposed to be like, that's the best that it's going to be? Like he's really trying to pull on all the stops. So to show you that like he's worth investing his time in. And if he's already fucking up and all this stuff, like, a month, 2 months in, what is it going to be like when I have two of his kids and we need to pay, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. These are things that I'm thinking about as a partner. So, like, you're kind of saying, like, you need to, you know, kind of, and I'm sure not, it's, like, not all blanket case, but, like, where you're saying that it's, like, oh, invest in this person because it will pay off later.
But you're right, though. You're right. Like, if you're just dating, it should be exciting. Because I remember, exactly. Like, just dating my current partner, and it was exciting. We'd, you know, go to like nice dinners, and I'd be like kind and all this stuff. And then like a year, and I was like, nah, that's not the real me, you know.
Yeah.
But you guys also met in like your like early 20s, so there's so much growth between then and now that you had to. Yeah.
You're probably dating like actual men. You know, she was dating a boy.
No.
This open thing has been interesting because I'll like talk about it, and I feel women my age are like very. I don't want to use the word disgusted, but they're just like, ugh, what a pig. Like, I just get that reaction a lot.
Yeah.
But then younger women, who I'm not really into, like, I'm not really into young chicks, but, like, women, like, 21, 22, they're, like, very excited by it. And to be honest, like, the girls who have, that I've kind of, like, flirted with and stuff since this arrangement has started have been women who are, like, 21, 22. And, like, I just, that's not my type, but it's just interesting that they don't even care. They'll just, I'm like, and I won't even tell them, you know, we're like flirting, and I'll just be like, oh yeah, my girlfriend. And like, oh, you got a girlfriend? I'm like, yeah. And like, oh, you guys like in a close relationship? Like, they'll just, it's just kind of like asking what my sign is or whatever. Yeah. You know, it's very normal for them. And but I just feel like women who are my age, like 29, 30, whatever, they're just like, no, not into it. Like, cause I'm, you know,
cause they've been burned. Cause like you have a very,
but that's why I hate that. I think they've been burned cause that word open implies
it's like all this other stuff, like,
yeah,
and you have a very different approach. Like, I feel like so many guys have been using it very recklessly.
Yes.
And like,
yes,
they have a different approach, or, you know, and like, to this, like, guys are like, it's just tough. Like, it's like, to some people, open relationship doesn't mean I have someone, and it just means like, like, I'm going to date you. We're going to meet. I'm going to date you. I don't have anyone else. I'm going to date you. Yeah. But I'm going to date you with one foot out the door at all times.
Yes, yes.
And,
yes,
like,
yes.
Again, for me, right, like, I'm on, like, and I think maybe a lot of people my age at this point have been on the apps. Like, I've been on the apps now, like, 5-6 years.
Yeah, I've seen you 2013. I
saw you out 2013, there. I shot my shot there. And got blocked.
But you never left his mind, Millie. That's what matters.
Can I tell you that I don't even remember at all? No, like, I cannot even recall. But because there's been many men. But I digress. But yeah, like, it's just about dating with more intention for me. And if I'm on an app, again, like, if I'm out at a bar and I'm flirting with a guy, you know, and whatever, and then we go home, you know what I mean? Like, and then I find out he's in an open relationship. I'm like, okay, like, you know, whatever, that it is what it is. But if I'm like going on it, like if I'm like, it's like intention, you know, I kind of see it as like online shopping.
Sure.
So versus like in store.
But
like, online shopping, like, okay, I want black jeans, you know?
Yeah.
And that's how I used to like approach like dating Asian men too. It's like, all right, I'm online shopping. This is what I want.
Yeah, I want yellow like, jeans.
Okay. This is what I want.
Problematic.
This is what I want. Like, I'm going to go, you know, no compromises because I'm online and I, that's like specifically what, you know?
Yeah.
But if I'm in store and I need pants right then,
yeah.
You know, I'm going to be like, oh, well, this, oh, this, you know what I mean? It's like you got to just.
I get this hem later.
Yeah. I get this hem later. You know what I mean? But
I think it's also like, not to be all super old lady, but I feel like people that are like 20, 21, just they don't have labels anymore and they're just so fluid and everything.
Exactly.
And
that's
like,
true too.
I think
that's
we're like the last generation of like uptightness a little bit, like a little closed off. Like we had the internet, so like we could see things, but we couldn't quite experience it.
Yes, and I think that's the thing. And I know I can't talk about this without sounding like a creepy old guy, but like when I was talking to these like younger girls and they were like saying this stuff, one part of me was like, oh, maybe just because like they're not looking for anything serious. But then the other part of me was like, I do agree to your point. It's like maybe they that's just open. The way they perceive the world. And they're going to carry that ideology until they're like 30s. And like, that's really cool. You know, like, people shit on Gen Z, also, but I think that's really cool.
But also, too, I will say, like, the way that you bring up your open relationship, I'm sure if you brought up that you were bisexual to, the, you know, to 21-year-old, they have a completely different reaction. Not me, but like other... Again, like we're like the last generation.
Yeah,
I would even say like we're like,
and I'd say you know, we're like in on the more 30s. Liberal end.
I'm a more liberal, but like you know, there are a lot of women in their 30s who like if a guy talking about him being bisexual, they would feel like kind of like clam up or something.
Yeah.
Maybe similar to the way if a guy talked like about being in an open relationship. Whereas I feel like 20, 21, you know, they don't have those norms. But
yeah,
I got Jaden Smith.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, it's just, but again, it's like, you know, me personally, it's like dating more intentionally.
Yeah.
Like I've done the thing where I'm not intentional about, you know, and I'm just seeing or like guy saying he's not really looking for anything serious. And I'm like, okay. And then like, and then it's like, okay, no, this doesn't work. Like I have to listen too, you know, because I have to protect myself. I have to protect, you know, just like it's a form of protection because if a guy's like, yeah, I'm not looking for anything serious. And then you start getting into, it's like a snowball.
Yeah.
And then you're like in, you're like, oh, I really like this guy. Like I want him to be my friends. I want to open my life for him. And then he's just like, wait, no, you know,
yeah.
It really, that really hurts, you know? So, and that's, you know, and that's happened to me. I'm sure that's happened to a lot of people. So you have to be okay with, you know, and I think you are.
Yeah, I mean,
and I feel like a lot of people aren't okay with people being like discussed. It's like, oh, you have a closed mind, and it's like, sure, but it's like I've lived through this a bunch of times, and it's not great to.
But I think you bring up a really good point of like people have misused that word, like they're misrepresenting it, but just kind of, you know, people who say who there's been a lot of failed open relationships more than successful ones, and to me, it's not about fucking other people; it's about like radical transparency. So it's like, you know, it for me, and I, you know, I don't even like using that word open relationship. I would just say, like, to me, I prefer the word, what's the most scientific word, is consensual non-monogamy, which is nobody's getting wet over that, but you know, it's, but that's, I like that word more because it's more about like, you know, doing things with a clear conscience. So it's to me and my girl, like our open relationship could just end with, hey, can I flirt with other people? I want you to know that I flew with somebody tonight. It doesn't affect what I have with you, but like it was an independent thing, and that it could really just end there. You can define it however you want.
Yeah.
You know? So for me, it's more about like communication, and that's why like if I meet somebody at a bar or something, I'll bring it up because I don't. Again, it's about transparency and communication. To me, it's not about like getting ahead or like tricking somebody into doing something with me. You know what I mean? That's not the point of this. So
yeah, but you have to know that.
Have
you know, you have to know that you're an exception.
Thank you.
Fuck off.
So much.
I hate you.
Let me get that on.
No.
That's getting cut. That's
getting cut. Look at the. Okay. So let's talk about Terrace House.
Okay.
So Terrace House is a Japanese reality show. It's kind of like The Real World.
Yep.
The cameras in American TV, they'll be there all the time. and Japanese TV, they'll leave. So a lot of shit happens off camera that we don't see, and then they'll talk about later.
Oh, I see.
So, and then what happens is, like, a lot of conflict comes from people plotting. They're like, yo, okay, we're going to go on this date, and you're going to hold my hand, and we're going to have this sweet little thing.
Yeah.
And, like, because people use it to, like, curry favor and get followers and shit. And then other people will call people out, like, you planned this date and this and that. Did you see the one with the girl, the virgin? The girl who has never...
Which season?
Last season.
In Tokyo?
In the Kanazawa?
Wait, with the snowboarding place?
Yeah, with the black guy.
There's a black guy in there?
Girl, okay. Anyway, so
there's... I never finished it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. There was this girl who, like, her whole thing, her whole
the
image...
hockey girl?
Not the hockey girl. You're way early. Okay. I'm talking about the end of the season, the way that it ended, right?
Yeah, I didn't finish this one.
Okay, you have to because okay. That's when it gets good. There's just the whole... Also, when someone decides to leave the house, they just leave and then they replace them.
Yeah, they call it graduating.
Yeah, they graduate. Where in America, like, you can't leave. Like, you're fucking obligated. Like, you can't leave at all. Yeah. Which is also, like, crazy. You know, and probably that's why, you know... It's probably crazier too because people can't leave when things get uncomfortable or something.
Yeah.
But there's this one girl who the whole thing, she's like, I've never kissed anybody. I'm a virgin. I've never even kissed. To Japanese guys, she's cute, which is a whole nother thing too. I'm like, oh, this girl's hot, and all the guys are like, ew.
Well, Japanese guys don't like hot.
No, they don't like. They like cute. They there'll be like a girl who's like tan, and she got her titties out and lashes, big lips,
whatever. It's not attractive. Yeah.
But then a girl with like a skinny ass girl with a big ass bow wearing like
no
Philly
personality,
pink. No personality. Yeah, they're like, she's I love her. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with this girl? Looks like she's dressed like a four year old Mexican girls with the little frilly puffy sleeves and the fluffy socks. This bitch looks like I don't like. They're like, yo. Yeah, that's my wife. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with Japan? So this one girl's like, all the guys were like, she's cute, but she's like, she's a ball buster too, which is a different thing. And then there's this black guy who's half black and he's a soccer player.
He's hot.
They're all hot.
Half Japanese, half what, like American black?
I don't know, because his job, you know, I think he grew up in Japan. But then he has good hair, so I'm like, I don't, you know.
What's good hair?
Like he knows how to do his hair, because a lot of, like, mixed Japanese people who,
they don't know how to do their hair.
Like, well, yeah, like, you could, I could tell if somebody's mom is not black, if their hair's all
fucked up. Oh, that's fucking funny. That's funny.
But his hair is good. Like, he got, like, good little dreads. Like, it's lined up and shit. I was like, okay.
Oh, shit, that means he's got a black mom.
Or I don't think he has a black mom, but he got connections. He's connected. He's connected to the black community somehow. Can I tell you, when I went to Japan, I got my hair colored, and it's just like, I had my hair purple, and it just like, all they had to do, this, because I've worked in salons, all you have to do is basically, it's a conditioner. You wash it in, and you wash it out. They made me sign a contract, and then they fucking, picked out my, they did not know what the fuck they were doing, and I looked like Diana Ross.
If you go to Japan,
I know, exactly.
You're not used to
your hair. I know.
But they have Japanese cholos now, right? And, like, dreads and everything?
I went to Japanese cholo night when I was in Sapporo.
That's a thing?
Yes.
In Sapporo?
Yes,
in Hokkaido?
In Hokkaido. Oh, my God. Like, low riders, and they're dressed like, they're
all dressed like Tupac. Yeah, they have Cortez.
How big is this community?
Because I read about it. I thought it was kind of a minor subculture.
I mean, I think, but it was like they sold out a whole club in Sapporo, like in 2010.
Dude, legit,
so,
some of those guys look Mexican.
Yo, I know.
It's crazy.
Honestly, when I was in Japan, I like dated a few guys. But the only time that I got like severely catcalled, like the way that a guy, like the way that a nigga would like, was at the fucking cholo night. Did they adapt that culture too?
The catcalling culture? That's so funny.
It's fucked. The catcalling thing was crazy because you see catcalling all the time in New York. So I saw these three guys. I was waiting in the train station for one of the guys I was talking to. And I'm sitting in the train station and I'm seeing these three Japanese guys that are dressed like they're black. You know, they tried to do the little dreads or whatever. And they're catcalling all these girls. every single girl they catcalled gave him their number because Japanese girls are not used to that. That's why any white guy or anybody who like has a semblance of game can like pull, because no one's asking these girls like, hey, what's up? How's your day? You know what I mean? Like, and then I'm telling you, every white guy who like doesn't
Japanese
wear,
DMs are like, if you want to slant like a Japanese girl's DM, it's so easy.
And I'm not trying to say like Japanese girls are easy, but like Japanese guys suck so bad that like.
But do you think Japanese girls want that? Want that attention?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, not all of them, of course, but like girls want somebody, you know, anybody would want someone to be like, hey, you're like really pretty, or like, hey, like,
but that's like so intense, like, let me listen. Japanese. Like, oh, you're so beautiful. Like, that's like something like,
okay,
Hispanic
well,
guy
that's why
that.
Foreigners slang puss. Mm. And it's
so
hard.
I gotta
get
back out there.
Yeah.
Maybe I gotta go out there and open my business.
Oh, God. Fucking close it, bitch. All right, just two questions and then we're going to go to lab. I'm like, close this shit, bitch.
Keep all
please.
That in. That's good stuff.
Close.
Keep it in there.
Okay, keep it in there. No. No. Okay. Were there any... So, I know you didn't date a lot, but like, in your experience of dating, were there any red flags that you've ignored? Like, in women that you're like, looking back, like, oh, I should have paid more attention to that.
When I say I didn't date, I literally mean like I've had sex with people who
no,
are
you
not
haven't.
Virgin. I've had sex with people who weren't my girlfriend, like before we were dating, but I've only had sex with those people like once. Like they're all like one night stands. I never went on like I never dated anybody else. So like yeah, I mean, personality. I have no idea.
Why were they one night stands? Did you like know? Or was it like
there was one girl that I hooked up with and we didn't have sex. She blew me. Very nice of her. And I liked her. She was half Peruvian, half Japanese.
Okay.
Yeah, her last name was like Aguilar or something like that.
Okay.
Super cute. But she grew up in Japan, so she like spoke Japanese. But she was like, I don't know, 5-6 years older than me. I was like 21. I think she was like 25-26. And I like told her that I liked her. And then she was like, peace. And she was just like, no, I'm not really looking for that. But it's interesting because...
Yeah, I mean, she sucked your dick. That's so lame.
Yeah, it's so lame, right?
Yeah,
why would
if
she
you
do
don't,
that? Yeah,
yeah
like, I wouldn't suck
you
a guy's
like
dick.
You suck my dick, though. Are you sure?
Yeah, that's
you
lame. Wanna,
yeah,
I mean,
that's
I'm not
a lot
to,
of work.
I'm not trying to slut shame, but like...
Oh, and I tried to go down on her, and she was like, no, I'm good. And I'm like, really?
Damn.
I'm like, I think I love you.
This girl... You bitch! You
straight guy enemy! Listeners, what's up? It's a straight guy in here.
I'm calling the police. I'm calling the police.
Hey, don't let those Asian guys trick you. We're all pieces of shit. Right?
I know. That's what
we have to act like, oh, we've been wronged, but nope, we out here.
No, I know. I know.
You could turn the tables around. I like the only girl that sucked my dick. No, she didn't like me that.
Yes, Chase, you'd be a great lawyer. She's my lawyer now.
Stop it. She's mine. No, but that's so funny. As soon as she said, you don't have to go down to me, you're like, I love you. You're such a bitch.
I go straight to the
straight
top.
To the top. Yeah, you fucking, you fucking bitch.
The ring is ready. You know?
Yo, that's so honestly lame. I would never. I mean, I would never.
No, I like sucking. Going down on girls. I was offering, and then she didn't want to.
Everybody who says they like it sucks at it. Anyway, we're just gonna wrap up here because I'm sick of seeing Fumi's face.
Straight guy energy.
And the straight guy energy is literally causing nausea.
Are you not straight?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay.
Unfortunately, it's my only flaw.
You're one of us.
my only flaw is that I'm straight. And like, let me tell you something. You know how many gay comedy shows try to book me like every week, and I can't even like post like, "Hey guys, like announcement, like I'm straight. I'm sorry." Like, because
did you do it?
No,
the producer privately.
No, they were like, "Hey, we would love to," and I'm like, "Hey, like,
oh my god,
so many times," and I'm like, "Look, I wish."
That's like tell people you have herpes. Like, herpes, I can't do this show.
No, it's like I'm straight. I'm sorry. I know. Yeah. I know I have bisexual energy, but really, like, I know as much as I hate men, I can't think of like.
Is it a religious thing? You think you're not going by?
No, it's just like
Buddhism doesn't have anything against.
No, that. Buddhism doesn't have anything against being bi.
Yeah,
I just when I just think about eating pussy, I'm like, I don't know if I could do it.
Mm.
It doesn't accept. There are women that I find hot, but I'm just like, and there are couples that I'm like, you know what? For them, I would.
Yeah.
Mostly a wrestling couple, but
I don't even get that.
a WWE couple.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay. Well,
I didn't know which.
What a because I have a dated
Naomi and Jimmy Uso.
Oh, do you watch WWE?
Yeah.
Do you know Alexis Bliss?
Yes.
She went to my high school. Yeah, she's doing well, man. Shouts.
But yeah, but yeah, no, not by unfortunately. Yeah. Yeah, so let's just go to the lightning round. So I'm gonna say things.
We're going way over time.
Okay, we're gonna cut it out so you just sound like a dick.
Yeah.
Take our energy.
Oh! I don't need pussy. Oh!
Okay, lightning round. So I'm gonna say something and you're gonna say if it's trash or not. And then rapid fire. Ready? Ohio.
Not trash.
Okay. Already, you're wrong. I'm kidding. I love some Skyline chili. Okay, going home for the holidays.
Say that again?
Going home for the holidays. Trash or not?
Trash.
New Year's Eve.
Trash? No. Trash. If you're single. Not.
What the fuck? Okay, Skyline chili.
Don't unpack
Yo,
that.
Yo, that is straight up trash.
Oh, you're terrible. You're wrong. Tila Tequila.
Not trash. Love her. Shouts.
Even now?
Politically, I love her. What if I said that?
keep it in. Candy, keep it in.
You know, she's like a white supremacist now.
Yeah, that's I know, wild. But you said she was amazing. All right. Wow, that's crazy that you love Tila. You jack off to Tila Tequila. No, that's crazy.
A theremin.
Oh, like, not trash. It's a great event. I mean, I don't know. Shouts.
Hunting.
Trash.
Ghosting Millie.
That was a trash move on my part, I will admit. We could have been something, you know.
You could have had a bad bitch.
Hey.
Very committal. Okay, well, let's end on a happy note.
Yep.
What's one fond happy memory that restored your faith in humanity?
God. I don't have faith in humanity.
Wow, the fact that I forgave you and brought you on my podcast was not.
Oh yeah, that's
okay. No.
I got a hand job when I was young. That was pretty.
That was a faith in humanity.
You got a good hand job.
Yes.
Wow. That's crazy.
Oh,
she never.
She's not from there, but she's like Eritrean American.
Oh, nice. They're really pretty.
Yeah, dude, it was.
Does that like have anything to do with her hand? I don't understand.
He wants to flex that he pulls
like worker.
Eritrean girls give hand jobs like this. White girls give hand jobs like this.
No, that's why you didn't fucking get a good job.
I've been arrested like 7 times on this podcast.
Yes. What was he to say? I love that he's described the race of every girl that he's been with. So we know
you have.
Eritrean is not a race. It's a country.
Sure. Uh-huh. Anyway, so the hand job was the thing that was, you got the hand job and you're like, you know what? Living is worth it.
I started believing in America after that hand job. Does that make sense? After that hand job,
you're
like,
wow, this is what
anything can happen. Anything can happen in America.
Yeah, I guess so, you fucking piece of shit.
What's the answer for you?
I guess when I fucked a Korean guy, I'm kidding. That's straight from Korea and spoke no English.
I know, it was when we matched on Tinder, wasn't it?
Yeah. My time when like the most amazing moment in my life was when we matched on Tinder six years ago, and you unmatched me, and I don't even remember.
You were into it, though.
Of course I was into it, sure. It was on Tinder. I matched with you. Of course I was into it.
You were into it, bro.
You are.
What happened? All right. Thank you so much for coming on my podcast.
Thank you. Let the record show she messaged me first.
No. Oh, my God.
Hi, my name's Millie. I work for a Japanese company.
Arrest her.
Electric chair for the both of you. Okay? Damn. Thank you for listening to the All Dick is Trash podcast. The All Dick is Trash podcast is produced by Candy Harrell, and we are part of the More Banana Podcast Network. Our founder and managing producer is Kate Moldenhauer. If you would like to share an anonymous confession, email trashdickconfession@gmail.com. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram @ADIT Podcast. And of course, you can always follow me, your host, Millie Tamaris, on Twitter @MillieTamaris. Stay classy, y'all.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.